Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another in the series of Read the Word. Here we are. Happy Thanksgiving. Today's Thanksgiving Day. And we made it all the way to Michigan and celebrating with Leanne's family over the holiday season and Thanksgiving Day. And beautiful day here in Michigan today. Of course, every time you get to eat a whole turkey in one day, that's a beautiful day.
It certainly is.
And we have had a real experience today because her dad's got a turkey that likes to come into the house. And he comes up to the sliding door and just pecks on the window until you, you know, open the door and talk to him and pet him and stuff. And it's a new experience for me during Christmas. I think he was going, nah, 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 because I'm not in the pan.
Yeah. But,
you know, don't be careful now because you could be. Anyways, I hope you had a wonderful day with your family. And as you can tell, we've had the last couple of days and we didn't have a read the word, but it takes 24 hours to get here and then a couple hours to recover. We're not going to say a whole day because we're not wimps or nothing. But anyways, welcome and we're glad to have you tonight. We're in the book of Acts. Tonight we're going to see Peter go to prison and then get out of prison. And then we're going to see the wicked leader be judged by God for his acts against the church. And the importance of prayer, missionary journey is going to happen. We're actually going to do 2 days today. We're going to do day number 324 and day number 325 so we can get ourselves caught up here and finish right on time.
Amen.
Isn't that something? 40 days left. Right now.
Wow.
40 days left in this year. And what a deal. All right. Got my hot chocolate with me. I got chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Got the microwave popcorn all set up. And a beef and a bean and cheese burrito ready to go. Let's pray. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for your wonderful, amazing, majestic word. Jesus, in this session this morning, may light and life come to every person that's here. In the beginning was the word. That's you, Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word is God. Philippians chapter 2, you said you didn't think it was robbery that you laid aside your Godhead, took on the likeness of sinful men so that you can show us that a man or a woman sold out to God, filled with the Holy Spirit, and walking with the Father can transform the world in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen and amen. Now, let's just get a little quick catch up. It's been 2 days. So, in our last session, the Apostle Paul had a come to Jesus moment on the road to Damascus. And like, he had a come to Jesus moment with Jesus, where Jesus showed up and said, why are you persecuting me? Then Saul said, I'm not going to do that anymore. And I'll call you Lord. And God said, you get to live. And he went and Ananias laid hands on him, a disciple. A disciple was the one that got Saul of Tarsus's eyes healed and the scales come off. Saul of Tarsus preached. Then in chapter 10, we saw how Peter was sent by God to the Gentiles And God sent him down the sheet and said, hey, eat. And Peter was like, uh-uh. And God said, eat. And Peter said, uh-uh. And God said, eat. And Peter said, uh-uh. And, you know, sooner or later, you got to learn to stop telling God, uh-uh. Don't do that. And so then the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles. And I actually want to begin to read in chapter 10, verse 44. Just to kind of connect what we're doing from the last time we was here till today. We had Thanksgiving Day in the middle of it. So let's get ourselves connected. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word while he was still preaching. Like I heard Lou Engle say, they interrupted and I never even got to preach. How rude is that? No, that's the Holy Spirit, right? Verse 45, and those of the circumcised who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. I mean, who'd have thought? Even the Gentiles could have the Holy Spirit poured out on them. And yet that's what God was doing. Look at what it says in verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who've received the Holy Spirit just as we have? I mean, he's like, wait, you guys haven't even been baptized. How dare you have the Holy Spirit yet? You haven't even been baptized. But see, in the book of Acts, you see it three different ways. You see it many different ways. You see people get born again, then filled with the Holy Spirit and get water baptized. Then they get the prayer language. You see people that get born again, Holy Spirit, baptized, prayer language, all at the same time, like we just saw right here. One fell swoop happened. And all the religious stand around going, well, you can't do it that way. Don't tell God he can't do it anyway, because he's going to do it, and he's going to show you he's going to do it, and then he's going to make it happen right in front of your eyes. 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Chapter 11. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went into uncircumcised men and ate with them? Peter explained to them in order from the beginning, saying, don't you realize that this Saul of Tarsus is going to write Galatians chapter 3 that says there's no Jew nor Greek? No, see, he didn't know that. You and I know that. Galatians chapter 3 says no Jew nor Greek, no bond nor free, no male nor female. They didn't know that. These guys are breaking barriers every single minute of the day right now because they're doing things that don't make sense. Look at what they said. Verse 5, I was in the city of Joppa praying in a trance. I saw a vision and an object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by the four corners. And it came to me. When I observed it intently, I considered I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and the birds of the air. I heard a voice saying to me, hey, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. And I said, not so, Lord. I mean, he knew who it was that was talking to him. He said, not so, Lord. Nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, saying, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Oops. Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. What are you going to do? You're going to go doubting nothing.
Yeah.
Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And the man said, I asked for Peter, not seven of you, but Peter's like, I brought me and my boys with me because we got to see what God's going to do right here. 13, and he told us how he'd seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, send men to Joppa. Call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Peter's remembering what Jesus said. Remember what the Holy Spirit's mission is. One of the Holy Spirit's assignment is to bring back to our remembrance everything that Jesus taught us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that that just happened to Peter right there. I need my bottle there too, love, if you can get it, please. If therefore God gave them the same gifts as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? Well, let's make that real simple. Don't withstand God. Okay? 18. When they heard these things, they became silent. And they glorified God, saying, well, then God has also granted the Gentiles repentance to life. Now, you got to realize that these men were probably all 30 years old. Judaism was the way of religion. And these guys are like, wow, we have just been stretched out of our religious whatever. And yet, look at how fast they accepted the truth that the Holy Spirit was showing them. Look what they said. Well, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance of life. Verse 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that rose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Aren't you just hungry to see that in our day?
Mm-hmm.
I am so hungry to see that, Jesus. Father, send forth laborers into the whitened field of harvest. Hurl them forth, Jesus. Ekbalo. Hurl them. And let it be us. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, underline it, circle it, do something. When he had seen the grace of God is visible. He was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed from Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. But they weren't called Christians because that's what they became. They were called Christians because they actually looked like followers of Christ. That's what that word means. Not some weird cultish thing that if you can just do all these things, you'll be one of those. No, it's when people look at you and say, wow, you're a follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hallelujah. Welcome to all of you that's with us on YouTube. It's good to have you with us tonight. Oh, you know what? I was going to post this on my Facebook page, so I'm just going to stop and do it because I want to do that. Because I want all my friends to be able to partake of it right now tonight live. And we've got a few more chapters to read. There it is. All right. Now, I'm back here, and I am now down to verse 27. I'm in Acts 11, 27. Those days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Claudius Caesar was a modern-day political leader. So this makes this a historical fact that you can view. Come on. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So what did they do? They sent relief. That means they sent a financial gift to bless those people that was in that horrible condition. Chapter 12, Herod's violence against the church. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of them, some from the church, the ecclesia. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread, so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. So it doesn't necessarily say right here how long this is after Pentecost, but it's a Passover, which would be another whole year after the resurrection, or as you can see here, probably 2 years. But I don't have those times exactly, but we'll catch that next time. He put him in prison with four squads of troops. How can the military be so afraid of one preacher? But because these men have power, mm-hmm. and they walk in authority. Five, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. We're not going to get this end time harvest done, guys, without prayer. You got to pray. Why? The enemy's out there right now. I mean, it's in the evening here. It's like 11 o'clock at night where we are recording this. The enemy's got people out there right now putting curses on people all over communities all over the world. You and I've got to pray. We've got to give ourselves to fasting and prayer, just like our forefathers did as we've studied the Thanksgiving. And we got to get serious about this because the enemy's serious about it. He ain't playing no games. He's serious about it. He believes in speaking words over people and it destroying them. You don't have to convince the enemy. He knows that's exactly how it works. Mm-hmm. I have to convince you, the church, even though I show it to you 35 times in the Bible, that it's actually true. And the whole time the enemy's using it to just wipe people out. So you and I come against it now in the mighty name of Jesus, because whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. But you do have to open up your mouth and bind something. Because that's what it says. But prayer, constant prayer, was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Rise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Verse 8, Acts 12, 8. The angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals," and he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me," and he did. Verse 9, he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Verse 10, when they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Well, it opened because there was two big angels there opening it, and there ain't no gate that's going to stay closed when two angels grab a hold of it and going to open it. God's men had both the gates flung wide open so he could walk out into the city. I love it. Came to the iron gate that leads to the city with ocean to them. It's of its own accord. They went out and went down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. 11. When Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel, has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. And all those people who were standing in faith said, "Oh, it's not Peter." Have you ever been guilty of it? You pray and pray and pray and pray, and then it happens, and you're like, "Well, I just can't believe it." Well, don't say that. Say it. Wow, I can believe it. What I just said came to pass.
I believe my prayers.
I believe my prayers. Amen. Let's see. Verse 15, when they said to her, you're beside yourself. She kept insisting, and it was so. So they said, it's his angel. Peter continued knocking. He's like, would you guys hurry up? I got to get out of town here. Would you hurry up? Peter continued knocking. When they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. He said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Why? They were going to be searching every house the next day to try to kill him. So you might as well learn to get up and go when it's time to get up and go. Elijah the prophet had enough courage to go stand in front of Ahab and say, you're going to die. Your kingdom is coming to an end. But he also had enough sense to run.
Yeah.
All right. Verse 18, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. When Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. God didn't like that. And he went down from Judah to Caesarea, and he stayed there. Now, Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon because they came to him with one accord. And having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because the country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal purple, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. The people kept shouting, the voice of a god and not of a man. Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. Wow. That was immediate, swift judgment against a political leader who was ravaging the church. God, don't put up with that. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Welcome, Sunday. Good to have you.
Hi, Sunday.
All right, he was eaten up with worms and died. I'm in verse Acts 12, 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem. When they fulfilled their ministry, they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, interestingly enough, when you read the beginning of Galatians chapter 1 and 2, Paul said he was 17 years before he went up to Jerusalem. So actually, when they came and found Saul, and Paul and Barnabas are sent out, they're 17 years in there. Now that I just sit here and let the reality of the truth happen.
Yeah.
That's a long time. Chapter 13, we're doing good, aren't we? Two more chapters to go. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, prophets and teachers, two very specific gifts in the New Testament that have not passed away, no matter what any Baptist church tells. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. That is a very good thing for every person to be doing.
Amen.
Right now that we have made it through Thanksgiving. Go back to ministering to the Lord and do some fasting before Christmas. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit spoke and said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, They preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. And when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood him, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. And guys, it's still happening in the day we live. Satan put his demon-possessed people right there to control the government by demonic spirits.
Yeah.
And we got to elect leaders who will not give themselves over to demonic spirits. Keep watching here. 9. Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Most people are very, very stunned when they really see the true power of God and how it works in people's lives. Now, we're going to Antioch in Pisidia, verse 13. When Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. When they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. After a reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them saying, "Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen to me. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. With an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it." I like that. Uplifted arm. "Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness, and when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king, so God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. I want you to notice that they're recanting their whole history. Why? Because there's power in it. We overcome. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Write your testimony down so you can quote it and give people great courage for it. In Jesus' mighty name. 22, I'm in Acts 13:22. "And when he had removed him, he raised up from them David his king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.'" Why? Because David chased God. "From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, 'Who do you think I am? I'm not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I'm not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, some of the family of Abraham and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them and condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. It doesn't make any sense, but it's what had to happen so that you and I could receive the forgiveness of sin and the washing and the cleansing and the purging. 29. Now when they had followed him, all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And if you want to write right there in the margin of your Bible, write Acts 1, 1 through 3. That's what talks about the infallible proof. Huh. Here we go. 32. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. 34. And that he raised him from the dead no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Verse 35. Therefore, he also says in another Psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sin. And by him, notice that him is capitalized, and that word man is capitalized. It's talking about Jesus. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all the things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, brethren, beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. Isn't that sad? The blessings in conflict at Antioch. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. When the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, look at this, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Why? Because they could see the grace of God was demonstrated right in front of their eyes. And they wanted that grace in their life. When the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Now, if that's what it says, what was the depth of their judgment that was against them? That'd be horrible. 46, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of the Lord should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. I'm in Acts 13:48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them, came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's get a drink of coffee. Look at how the Holy Spirit is moving all through the new church. Now, you know, Paul didn't even come start preaching with him for 17 years after he was born again. So we're 20 years into the new church here. There's people believing all over the world. So let's go to Iconium. I mean, I could preach an hour on every page here. Chapter 14. It happened in Iconium that they came together to the synagogue of Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and the Greeks, believed. Well, see, they're starting to get a foothold into this thing, and the leaders of the synagogue, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, they don't want that. They don't want to lose their folks. 3. Therefore, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace. I like that. Granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. By the apostles' hands. Well, the multitude of the city was divided. Part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. Verse 8, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, learn how to see in people's lives when they've got faith to be healed, because as soon as you put your faith with their faith, that healing is going to manifest. Amen?
Amen.
Faith to be healed. And with a loud voice, he said, stand straight up on your feet. And he leaped up and walked. Anybody want to say glory be to God? That's the great amen right there, Roger Oxy. When the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitude. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good. He gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitude from sacrificing to them. Now, those are some very spiritual people. Because as Paul's speaking, they are worked up into a spirit of religiosity. But what are they wanting to do? Sacrifice more animals. And that's not what God's saying to do. 19. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Stoned him, drug him out of the city, left him for dead, with the disciples standing around going, let's speak our faith. In the name of Jesus, Paul, we command your spirit to come back to you now in Jesus' mighty name. We probably began to sing, we exalt you. Who knows what they said? But they gave glory to God because they knew their leader was not going to leave them, and he wasn't done with his assignment yet. That's why when you hear a preacher say, God's going to break your leg so he can get your attention Turn him off and don't ever turn him back on.
Amen.
He's a liar, liar, liar.
Yeah.
Oh, pastor, you can't call him a liar. Huh? Okay. All right, you're right. I shouldn't call him a liar. He's so confused, he shouldn't be a Bible teacher. That's number one doctrine of the whole kingdom. All the good and perfect gifts come down from the Father above. He ain't going to bring his wrath down on his children. Get your doctrine right. Oh, wait, I got to say it with a smile. He's not going to bring his wrath down on his people. Get your doctrine right. I'm going to read that again, not because I like it, just because, wow, what an amazing man of God this was. I'm in Acts 14:19. The Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul. They dragged him out of the city and supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, they rose up and went to the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. He couldn't have been too bad beat up, you know, in the second day.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Being stoned, you know, sore most people would be, and then have to get up and walk to.
But see, if he's going to bring you back from the dead, he can make all your muscles and bones as if nothing ever happened. Verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So when they appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commanded them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had gone, they had preached the word in Perga. They went down to Attaleia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work with which they had completed. And when they came together, and when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with those disciples. Acts chapter 15, that'll be the next time. Now, what do we see? But God working mightily in the body of Christ in the church. That's what we see. And when you want, let's say, circle the wagons, it didn't matter whether you had a wicked leader or a good leader. God didn't change. James didn't have to be beheaded. The church was asleep instead of praying. And when James got beheaded, they said, well, you ain't going to behead Peter. We are not going to let it happen. And they got busy and started praying. And in their prayers, God changed the whole situation. So I encourage you and I to pray. Now, you with us, you have a prayer program every morning that we do, and that is from about 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. And we get on there. We have a prayer confession that we make. We got specific things that God's given us to say. We're always studying with Brother Dutch Sheets and his Giving 15 program. And then anybody else that God gives us an assignment to study and play. And then, of course, his own assignment for us is to be a healing room, to speak over these nations, and to see the joy of the Lord come into everybody's life where your gift is being used and blessed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Now, let's do this. Let's pray the prayer of salvation, because we do that every time we come together, because I don't ever know who's going to be on the other side of that camera. If you pray this prayer with me in 2 minutes, you will be right with God. You ready? Pray. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I want everybody to pray it. Sinner or saint, I know I need you in life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
Forgive me for messing up my stuff.
Forgive me for messing up my stuff.
But I guarantee you I'm chasing after you.
And I guarantee you I'm chasing after you, Lord.
According to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Here's your point. Make a big declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your arms out and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your
all
mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my
with
life.
With all the fullness of God.
All the fullness.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful
as
life.
A believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. Welcome to the family of God. You might be saying, Pastor, something's going on the inside. Yeah, it is. Something's going on. Jesus Christ of Nazareth just came to live on the inside of you. You didn't get a church. You didn't get a denomination. You didn't get a religion. You didn't get a religiosity or a group of rules of do's and don'ts. God Almighty himself has been seeking you, and you found him tonight, and he just came and lived and just made your life his abode. Now, everywhere you go and everything you do, you take God with you. He's leading you from the inside out right here. Not from some far way out point in the sky. He's on the inside, according to John chapter 14, verses 16, 17, 20, and 23. The Holy Spirit wrote with Apostle Paul that this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. Got to do it. Press, 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 press. Why? Because you can't fix the past because you can't go back there. The only thing that you can do is deal with right now. And then when right now is tomorrow, deal with right now. And when right now is the next day, deal with right now, because it's the only moment of time you have is right now. Learn to manage your manage isn't the right word, but learn to redeem the time with your assignments in God, and be quick to hear his voice and quick to walk in his ways. And you'll get good at hearing his voice when you read the word of God and are a blessing to every person who comes around you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, I can tell that I could go on and on and on and on and on, because there's so much material. This program is called Read the Word, and that's what we need to do, is read the Word. And if you get something, email me. My email address is right down there, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. And any way that we can help you walk with God, we will. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell, and then just come and be with us every evening, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 6 Mountain, 5 Pacific. And all y'all out in the water, glory, hallelujah. We want you to be a part of what we do. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name. I'll see you soon. God bless you, Sister Sunday. Good to have you, and all of our friends who will join us on YouTube.